This morning, we're going to be reading from Numbers chapter 21. If you want to go ahead and start turning your Bibles there. Numbers 21. Before we get started with our lesson, I'll kind of show y'all this. I don't know how well you can see what I have on here, but you may have seen this symbol before. You may have seen this when you went to the doctor's office or maybe on an insurance card or something like that. I think it's on the ambulances sometimes. I think so. They use that symbol a lot. I don't know how well you could tell what it was, but there's a rod on there with a serpent or a snake wrapped around it. And we use that symbol and see that symbol a lot, and it always makes me think back of this story when I see that. I went to look up that symbol. I figured it had a name and an origin, but when I looked it up in the encyclopedia or dictionary, looked it up, the encyclopedia said that it was back, they gave it a name referencing back to a Greek god, but it also said that it had, even before then, it had long had a history of using that symbol. That symbol had a long history with medical health and with medicine, that type of stuff. But I wonder if it goes back to this story that we're going to look at today in Numbers chapter 21. Okay. Now this story is after Joshua and Caleb. If you remember a few months back, I preached a sermon, or we studied on the story of Joshua and Caleb. And we remember what's going on there, that they didn't go into the promised land. They went up and they didn't have enough faith in God to go in, and instead they said they weren't strong enough. Only Joshua and Caleb gave a good report. And the Israelites cried out and they were all depressed, and they said, "We wish that we had died. We wish that we had died now. We wish to God that we had already died in the wilderness as we come." And God said to them, "Just as you have said, so will I do," because they had provoked him and angered him over this. And he said that they were going now to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and they would die. And that's where we take our story now, where they're wandering in the wilderness this 40 years before they can actually go in and possess the land that they would possess. And God is granting them their wish that they will die there in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21, I guess we'll start reading here with verse 4. Maybe I'll go ahead and read these, and then we'll go back through them in more detail. It's just a few verses that we're going to read. It says here in verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people were much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." And that's the story that we want to look at, the record from the Bible that we'll consider this morning, this story. Starting now and going back to verse 4 where we first started, we want to see the situation. You know, they're wandering in the wilderness, and it said there that they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. See, they're walking around. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They get discouraged because of the way. They get discouraged because it's hard. They didn't like the way that they're having to go. It's a hard way. And remember, this is not the way that God brought them to start with. God brought them and was going to take them to possess the land. But because of their own unbelief, their own unwillingness to go forward, an unbelief in God, now they're on this way. That's a hard way. And they did not like it. And they don't like God's way. They're blaming God rather than realizing it's their problem. It's their way. They were not able to conquer the promised land. They did not go in and possess it. And they're discouraged. So I want us to look at these things and consider as we go through, do we do the same? Or do we get discouraged because of the way? Because it's hard. When life is hard, our way is hard, the things that set before us is hard, do we get discouraged? And if so, what do we do about it? What should we do about it? I think from time to time we all might get discouraged over things when we have our focus wrong and we're too focused on the hardship. God does not want us to be discouraged over this life. Jesus told His followers, let not your hearts be troubled. And in many places He gives things just like that. Don't be troubled. Don't be discouraged. He wants us to look to our eternal blessings and use that to keep from getting discouraged. We should look to our blessings, especially our eternal blessing, for there we will not be discouraged. Discouragement is a problem if we dwell in it. We need to find a way when we get discouraged to change our focus and to realize God's power to overcome the hardship, to realize our eternal blessing, our reward from God for enduring through the hardship. For now we see what happens to these people once they're discouraged. They start something else, complaining. Complaining is a problem that we might have. It's even worse than just a little bit of discouragement. It's dwelling on it, complaining. And let's see their problem. It says in verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore had you brought us out of the land of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. It says the people spoke against God and against Moses. Now that's complaining. We don't like your way, God. That's what they're saying. The way is too hard, and they're discouraged over the way, and now they're complaining and speaking against God. We don't like your way. And notice what else they're doing here. They said, why have you brought us out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They're looking back to Egypt. We've seen this in other places as we see how they wandered through the wilderness. They said, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? You know, it was terrible while they were there. They were under a bad burden. They were oppressed. We know the story of Moses, how that the Egyptians were even killing the babies. It was bad while they were there. But now they look back upon it. They look back ever since God has delivered them out. Why didn't you just leave us there? Looking back at things. We don't always see them the way that they were. We look back. Do we ever have this problem? We get free from the bad situation, but only later to look back and think, that's where I want to be. Looking back. They keep looking back. They didn't really like it when they were there, but now they keep looking back and thinking that it was a good place. And we have to learn to live in the here and in the now. Instead of always dreaming of a better time and a better place, thinking of somewhere else, imagining something better. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. We have to think, what does God want me to do right here, right now? What is it that I should do in this situation? Focus on this situation and don't be looking back, looking off to something else. And we also need to realize our blessings in our situation, in the here and the now. See, their problem when they get discouraged was they continued to dwell on the negative. Dwelling on how difficult it was, difficulties of the way, how hard the problems are, and dwelling on those negative thoughts and then complaining. And that's the problem for us. If we complain and dwell on those things, it's a problem when we get discouraged and continue to dwell on these things. And complaining causes a problem. One of the problems of complaining is that it's contagious. Have you ever noticed that? It's contagious. One person starts complaining, another person starts complaining. You see this sometimes at work, people complaining about what the work is or what they're having to do. One's complaining, another one's complaining, more's complaining. It's contagious. And it's habit forming in ourselves. We get to where if that's the thing that we talk about, the more we talk about it, the more it becomes the thing that we talk about. And we complain. And instead of getting stronger against the problem, it causes us to become weaker as we focus on the difficulties. When you have a difficult task, the worst thing you can do is just to dwell upon how difficult it is. Much better to see the way to solve the problem. Look for the way to solve it and put your effort into that and focus upon fixing the problem rather than focusing on how hard it is. Just realize our blessing. And another thing that we see here, and they're speaking against God and complaining. They're complaining about the bread and no water, and then they say, our soul loatheth this light bread. They even say, we hate the food, God, that you've provided for us. We hate what we have because we're wanting something more. We're always dreaming and thinking of something more, wanting something better, hating what we have. Proverbs 27:7 says, the full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Are we like this? We hate what we have because we're wanting something more. And this way was hard for them. We know it was hard, and they're dwelling on it. Now they've spoken against God. And they said they hate this food, the food that he's provided for them. It says the light bread, as it's called here. And this word, light, could be translated as insubstantial. It's not enough, is what they're saying. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, it's called worthless food. Light bread is translated there, worthless food. They use the word bread to mean food, as we would say. We see that in the Bible, how the word bread is used for food, and they're saying this light bread, we don't like it. We loathe this light bread. Our soul loathes it. We take it. And they're accusing God of not providing them enough by calling it light bread. Not enough. Nourishment. It's unsubstantial. But if we look at the story in this chapter 21, right before this, we would see how that the Canaanites, some of them came out to fight against them, even as they were trying to go around them. And God gave them victory over it. They had strength to fight. They were victoriously, extremely victorious. They went in and they took their village and they destroyed them and took everything they had. They were not lacking in strength when it came to the battle. But they're complaining and saying, you're not giving us enough nourishment. Not enough. And do we do the same? We look at how hard the problem is and we look at how hard our life is, or how hard something that's set before us is, and we only complain and say, I don't have enough to do it. You didn't give me enough ability, God. We might try to even make deals with God. If I had more money, I'd be able to go out and do those other things for you. If I had more time, if I had more this, if I had more something else. Complaining about the amount that God has given us. And now they have spoken against God and against man. And how foolish man can be sometimes. To think that we can do anything against God. To think that we could speak against Him. To think that we could go against Him. That's what they've done. And then in verse 6 we see what happens. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, that much people died. Now in their complaining, they spoke against God, and now they've turned a hard way into a harder way. For now their hard way that they're having to walk through, having to go through, now it has venomous snakes that are biting the people. And these snakes are very dangerous. They're deadly. But we have to remember in this that God is giving them what they asked for. They wished that they were dead in the wilderness, and God is giving them that wish. And we should learn a lesson from this. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he's referring to back to this time, he says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. He's making a comparison for our lives, for our times. He says this is an example for us. For they tempted God. They tested God. They're blaming God for all of the problems. They blame God for the hard way. And they accuse God of not providing enough nourishment. They don't like His provisions. They blame God rather than endure. In James chapter 1, verse 12 through 15, it says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of glory. He shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And we see that's the case here. They're discouraged over the way. They're dreaming of something better, even imagining Egypt as being better than this journey that they're on. They're wanting something more, as we see this referred to, drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when it's conceived, it brings sin. And they've spoken against God. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. We bring judgment upon ourselves. But as we look at this, we can't blame God. Don't try to blame God for our problems. I want us to learn a lesson from this, as a lesson about God and man, as we continue on now in verse 7 of Numbers 21. It says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. We see a change here. Previously they were complaining. Everything was God's fault. All of the problems were God's fault. But this is a big difference here. Notice what they said. We have sinned. It made a change. We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord. They realize what they've done. Many times as we look back, we see bad examples. We see from the stories, we see examples of how not to do, what to do, what not to do. But this one is a good example. Here is a good example, an example for us to follow from the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness. When we've done wrong, we need to realize that it's our problem. When we've made the situation worse, don't try to blame God, but we need to confess our faults and turn back to God. Don't continue to resist against God. That's what they were doing before. Rather than realizing it was their problem, realizing it was their lack of faith that made the way hard, they grumbled. They complained. And then they complained more and they spoke against God. Complaining against God, but realize that we bring the problems upon ourselves. We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord. The sooner that we get fear of God and fall upon His mercy, the better off we'll be. And now there's more to the lesson. There's another lesson for us to learn here. A marvelous lesson. That God had a plan. In verse 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." So God still had a plan. He still had a way for them to live. They made bad decisions. But now, instead of continuing to make bad decisions, instead of blaming God and saying that He couldn't keep the serpents away from them, now they've realized it was their fault and they've confessed their fault. God has a plan. He has a plan for them to live. He still has a way for them to live, and God still has a plan for us. He still has a way for you to live. In verse 9 it says, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." So this is God's plan. It's His salvation for them, way of saving them, and it's working. And we want to notice several things about this. We want to realize that they did not have much faith in God. They didn't have enough faith to go into the promised land and to possess it. But it appears to me, as I look at this particular situation, that disobedience was easy. It didn't take a whole lot of faith, it would appear to me, to look upon this folk. They were bitten by the snake. They're going to die. The people were dying that had been bitten before. They had life to gain. They had nothing to lose. Nothing to lose by going and looking and obeying. Looking upon this pole. Doing what they were told would help. They had nothing to lose and everything to gain. It seems like it would be pretty easy to obey. And it appears that we need to be the same way. When we realize that we are just the same, we have nothing in this life to lose by obeying God. We have everything to obey, to gain by obeying God. And when we realize that, how easy it will be to obey. How easy to just obey and do what God's plan is, do what He has required of us. If you want God's way to be easy for you, get this realization that we have everything to gain. We have nothing to lose. I want us to also see that this was not Moses' plan. Moses didn't decide to put this serpent upon a pole. Moses was simply obeying God. It was God's plan. God told him to do that. It was simple obedience that was required. And God did the saving. You know, as we think about this and our plan, if we were trying to solve this problem, if we're trying to solve a snake bite, is that the kind of plan we would come up with? I want you to look over here at this certain thing, and that's going to cure it. We would try to put something on the bite. We would try to take something into our body to fight the toxins. We try to eat something special or put some special thing upon us to that this was God's plan. It may not make any sense to us, but it was God that did the saving. And that's what God's plan shows, is that it was God that did the work of saving, but people just had to do the obey. God just says, obey my simple and easy command, and God will do the saving. Though it may not sound right to us, it may not even seem like it's possible to us. We might look at our own lives and see things and say, that doesn't sound possible. How is looking like this, we would look at this and say, how is looking at this sculpture going to cure a snake bite? And we may have this same problem. How am I going to rise and walk in a new life in Christ? How can I do that? How can I live for Christ? How can my obedience change this situation? But we're discounting God's work in the process. We're looking at what we're doing instead of looking at what God is doing. Don't discount God and His plan to save us. And God had a plan. Throughout the history of man, we see that God has always had a plan. And this is a good lesson for us to learn from this. God has a plan. He has a plan for us today. And part of this we should think of Christ. In John chapter 3 and verse 13 it says, He's talking about Himself, that He would be lifted up like the serpent was in the wilderness. It says, John chapter 3, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That Christ was lifted up for us, lifted up upon a cross. And the plan, that part of the plan may not be something we can understand, but God's plan will work. And it's not something from man. It said no man ascended up to heaven. No man made this plan. This is a plan that came down from God. And now perhaps we realize that this sounds like us, like we are. Maybe we're this same situation. We don't like the way. It's too hard. And we get discouraged. And we have a negative attitude. And we dwell on the hardships. And we imagine and think of a better way. And then the serpent bites. Fiery serpent. Sin. And now what? Now we don't just stand there watching the bites, watching the wounds, hoping that they will fix themselves. We have to look to God and to His plan. And can you imagine anyone in that time? And there may have been some that had the attitude, I'm not going down to Moses' plan. I don't believe in Moses. I don't think he's right. I just don't believe in what he has to say, and I'm not going to do it. We can see now how sad that would be to not follow God's plan and to hope to fix it ourselves, hoping to wait and see what will happen, but we don't want to take that same approach to God. And as we talked about before in 1 Corinthians, it says this is a good example from us. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, we saw where he talks about many of these things. And I guess we won't read all of this. I'll just read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 10, maybe verse 6. It says, now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And then he went on to list those other things about how they tempted Christ and were destroyed of the serpent. And these are for our examples. And that's our sermon for you this morning. I hope we can learn some lessons from looking at their example. Learn some things not to do, but also learn some things to do. Learn to realize that we need to confess our faults, realizing our problems and our stake in the hardship, and how that we bring those things, hardships, upon ourselves many times. The Bible teaches us that we can come and to confess our faults one to another, and we can pray for one another. And for baptism, we'll extend this opportunity while we stand and sing.